Amen. Praise the Lord for that tonight. Good question to ask yourself. And if you ask yourself that question and you're in your saved tonight, you have much to praise God for with the answer to that question. Great thought in that song. Ephesians chapter 3 tonight. Ephesians chapter 3. Excited to be preaching tonight. Tonight we're going to be looking at Paul's prayer here for the church of Ephesus. Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to start reading there in verse 14. Let's stand for the reading of God's word together tonight. Ephesians chapter 3, beginning there in verse 14. He says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ with passive knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Lord, we love you, and God, we thank you for the day you've given us, Lord. And Lord, now we're coming before you. We're seeking your presence. I thank you so much for what you've already done in the service and how you spoke to my heart. And God, I pray that, Lord, you continue to meet with us. God, I pray that as I preach, you enable me to preach your message tonight. And I pray, God, that each and every person in the pew, God, would have an open heart ready to receive your word. God, I pray that as we receive it, Lord, you'd work in our heart and make change where change is necessary, God, and maybe encouragement to take a step farther for you tonight, whatever it may be. I pray, God, that you'd speak to our heart. Your will be done in the service. We ask all these things in your name. Amen. You may be seated. As a boy, I didn't care too much for reading. And, you know, 20 years later, I don't care too much for it still. The audiobook was one of the greatest thoughts ever. Thought in mankind. I'm very thankful for the audiobook. But thinking about books that I have read, I've started a lot of books, not finished many of them, but I've started a lot of books. But thinking about books that I read, especially in grade school, I think about those autobiographies. When you had to do a book report, you'd pick one that you thought would interest you, hopefully, and it was easier to do the report when you enjoyed what you were reading. And one that I still think about today is the one that I read on Thomas Edison. And I was so into Thomas Edison when I was reading his book and so interested in what he had done. I remember just trying to find more about him. And my mom even found this old movie that starring Mickey Rooney, old black and white film, on the life of Thomas Edison. Anybody ever seen that movie? Anybody? Just a handful, probably. It's very entertaining, very good stuff. I remember his story and how fascinating it is. If you've heard about him or read about him, his school career lasted 3 months. He went to school as a boy for 3 months, and his teacher saw no hope in him, saw no way that he would ever pass the class, and his mother ended up homeschooling him at his home. And he showed from that moment on these insurmountable obstacles that people would face, and he was able to keep on going, and he worked harder and harder, and he tried over and over again. And by the end of his life, he had over 1,100 patents in his name. Among his most famous inventions or developments of things that were already invented was the incandescent light bulb. That was already invented at the time, but he made one that was affordable and one that was long-lasting. He helped developments on the motion picture camera, the phonograph, and even made huge strides in the development of the X-ray machine. And he went so far with that his main helper died of radiation poisoning. He himself lost vision in one of his eyes working on that project. That's how dedicated he was to trying to find a fix to these issues and these things that he was trying to get to work. In a 1921 interview, Edison described his persistence that he had in a certain way. He said, "After we had conducted thousands of experiments on a certain project without solving the problem, one of my associates, after we had conducted the crowning experiment and had proved a failure, expressed discouragement and disgust over our having failed to find out anything. I cheerily assured him that we had learned something. If we had learned for a certainty that the thing couldn't be done that way and that we would have to try some other way." You know, very few things of lasting significance and value are achieved without overcoming obstacles along the way to achieve those things. And you can look throughout and you hear about these overnight successes. And the truth is, most of the time, those overnight successes were not overnight successes. It was someone that persevered and kept going, kept trying, until eventually they had something great that came out of that. You look at Thomas Edison's life, there were so many accomplishments that he had, and 1,100 patents in his name, but it would not have happened if he gave into the weariness. It would not have happened if he would have quit. In our Christian life, there's going to be many opportunities where we may want to give in or give up. There's going to be many different times in our life that we'll face temptations, or we'll face a trial, or we'll come to periods of tiredness, but the life that we have been called to live and the life that we are supposed to live as Christians is one that is too important to give up on. Yeah. We see in this passage that Paul knew in order to keep on for the Lord, we need to be people of prayer. Jesus told us in his word, apart from me, you can do nothing. And that's something very important for us to grasp as Christians. Without God, without his help, we can't do anything for him. Bible says, and later in this chapter, as Paul wrote, he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication and spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Paul knew the importance of prayer, and he was showing that to the church of Ephesus. R.A. Torrey, a great preacher, spoke on prayer, and he said, when the devil sees a man or a woman who really believes in prayer, who knows how to pray and who really does pray, and above all, when he sees a whole church on its face before God in prayer, he trembles as much as he ever did. For he knows that his day in that church or community is at an end. Prayer is a very powerful thing. We're going to look at this prayer tonight. And in this passage that we're reading here was Paul sharing. It was the second prayer in the book of Ephesians that he had for the church of Ephesus. And really, it's a prayer for every church. Well, Paul's prayer is one that can help us tonight. And we'd look at a few things out of it. The first thing we find in this passage is the purpose of the prayer. The purpose of the prayer. At this time, there was not a problem with the church of Ephesus. They were doing what they were supposed to do. And when Paul wrote this letter to them, he really wrote it not to try to fix a problem necessarily, but to encourage them to keep on for the Lord and to remind them of a few things. And in the book, if you were to look at it, he wrote of the hope of God's calling. And he wrote about the spiritual blessings they had in Christ. And in the chapter after our text tonight, he wrote about walking worthy of the vocation where we are called. In the beginning of chapter 3, he continues to speak to them about why he came and how they came, that they might be joint heirs together with Christ and for that relationship with him to be known throughout the world. And in verse 13, he's speaking to them. He goes, wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. He says, I desire that ye faint not. I don't know if you know this. This is one of the prison epistles. And Paul was writing this letter to the church of Ephesus from a prison cell. And the church at Ephesus, no doubt, because of his influence on them, loved Paul very much and prayed for him and wanted to see him again. And as they know where he is, writing this letter from prison, he wanted to make sure that where he was would not keep them from going on for God. And he says, faint not in my tribulations. Don't worry about what I'm going through. You need to make sure you have the right focus. You keep on for God. And he goes, because of what I'm going through and because of the obstacles ahead of you, I am praying for you. And he says there in verse 14, he says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father. There was a cause. There was a reason that he was praying. And that phrase there is spoken again early in the chapter. For this cause I write unto you. For this cause I get on my knees praying for you. You know, it was the church's job to reach the lost. It was the church's job to be separate. It was the church's job to be light in the community. It was the church's job to love one another. The cause was the life that Jesus called them to live. The cause was the Great Commission. The cause is what he had them to do in the world. The cause is to bring sinners to repentance, and we must pray for the cause. We must pray for each other. We must pray for the things that God has us to do. There's a quote that's very familiar to many people. Prayer is supposed to be the steering wheel of our life, not the spare tire. It's supposed to be the steering wheel, not the spare tire. It's not something that should be our last resort or something that we go to just in time of need. Prayer is something that needs to be our first resort. When there's not a special need ahead, to pray. Pray for God's strength. Pray for his help. It's what God expects of us. But to many Christians, it's just a daily ritual. To many Christians, it's just a habit that we've gotten into. There are many Christians that do not pray every day. I don't think it'd be crazy of me to say that there's people in this room that are saved that do not pray every day to God. But it's expected of us and it is needed of us if we are wanting to keep on for the Lord. It is something that should not just be a routine. It's something that we should not want or cannot live without. Prayer is important. It should be a constant act in our heart. The Word of God in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says, pray without ceasing. Always being in an attitude of prayer. Always being able to pick up just where the conversation left off. Communing with God. We need his help. Philippians chapter 4 verse 6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto prayer. There's a cause for prayer. We need to be a church of prayer, a people of prayer. We need to pray for our families. We need to pray for our church. We need to pray for our pastor. We need to pray for the lost. We need to pray for ourselves. The cause is too important not to do it. There's a reason for the prayer, but then we also find just the requests in the prayer. The first thing we find there, verse 16, it says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Turn to Matthew chapter 26, if you would. First thing we see, the first request is the strength for the inner man. Now, when we think of prayer, or if you ask people their thoughts on prayer, I believe many people would say, you know, we pray for good health. We pray for the weather to be good, for some kind of outing that we may have. We pray for our job situation. We pray for circumstances. We pray for trials. We pray for those things. And God has told us to do that. He says, casting all our care upon him, for he cares for us. We are to take those requests to God. We often pray for the outward things, but often miss the inward things. We often pray for the outward things in life, but many times we miss out on the inward things. We see in Matthew chapter 26, where you turn to in verse 41, he says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. You know, just a year ago, I wanted a life change. I did not like where my weight had gotten to several times, and I've tried different things, and I was determined last year that I was going to fix that, and I have started, and it's a journey, okay? It's not finished yet by any means, but I began to run, and I've lost weight, and you may be thinking, you're still pretty fat, and I know, but that was very rude of you to think that, by the way. Not yet. But one thing I tried that I've never done before is I started jogging and running. And when I first started doing it, I did not make it very far before I would stop. And I would run a little bit and stop and catch my breath and try to run a little more. It was kind of discouraging at first, but it was something that I just determined in my mind I was going to start doing. And after a while, I made it half a mile. And then after a little while of that, I started being able to go a mile without stopping. It's just, it kept increasing from there. And one thing that I've started to really enjoy when I'm running is when my body tells me to stop and begging me to stop, I remember I've done this once before. Or I remember, you know, if I made it from here to that door, I can make it from here to that door again. And in my mind, I would try in my inner man to overcome what my body was telling me to do. As I reach these points where I want to stop, I just want to try to get a little farther or to be determined to not do what my body is trying to tell me to do, but to keep pressing on and try to make it further and further. And it's something that I've really started to enjoy. In our Christian life, there is going to be much adversary. There are many obstacles. And the Word of God tells us in Proverbs chapter 24, verse 10, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. You know, the inner man needs strengthened. We don't need to just pray for the outward things in life. We need to pray for the inward man. We need to pray for our heart. We need to pray for God to give us discipline. We need to pray for God to help us abstain from temptation. The inner man needs strengthened. In our series on the Holy Spirit that we just finished, I've spoken of it many times. It's one that really changed my life. It's one that changed my view on God, and not stuff that I already knew, but it reminded me of the dependence that we need to have on the Spirit. You know, it's an incredible thought. We have God that created this world living inside of us if you're a Christian. In that series, one of the first things he talked about, it's not a force, it's God. We have His Spirit that is dwelling inside of us, and as a Christian, we need to make sure we're taking advantage of His Spirit. We need to make sure that we are taking advantage of the Spirit dwelling inside of us and to strengthen the inner man to be what God wants us to be and to live as God wants us to live. And Paul prayed for these people, for this church in Ephesus, that the Holy Spirit would do His work and that the inner man of the believer would be strengthened by the Holy Spirit. You know, believers, when we're saved, they walk differently. When you're saved, you talk differently, you live differently, and it's all because of the change brought from salvation and the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us. And until we truly grasp the truth about the flesh and the Spirit, we will not have that life more abundantly, and we cannot live the way that God wants us to live. We need to make sure we take advantage of the Holy Spirit that God has given us and let our inner man be strengthened. If you look at your own heart tonight, what is your inner need of the circumstances you are in? You know, the Holy Spirit can strengthen your inner man for those things, no matter how hard or how great you think that need may be. Maybe you're struggling with being a person of love. Do you need love for a person that you've had a hard time loving? This inner man needs strengthening. You need joy that lifts you out of the sorrow you may be in. Inner man needs strength. You need peace that calms your heart in the midst of the storms. You need patience and kindness and goodness towards others. Your inner man needs strength. You need faithfulness when your heart wanders and meekness when you feel proud or self-control when you're tempted. It starts with the inner man. God has placed His Holy Spirit within us to empower us to live the Christ-like life. And a strengthened inner man only comes by the presence of Him in a Christian. His first request was for the inner man to be strengthened. Another section that we find is to be rooted and grounded in love. And speaking of being rooted and grounded in love, that's really a foundation of our life, a foundation of love in the Christian. Being deeply rooted, holding on to His love, being embedded in it. And I was reading not long ago, trying to plant a tree in our front yard, about trees and planting trees. And there's different viewpoints on this. Some people, like especially with a small tree, really want to pamper it and protect it and make sure that it's fed properly and it doesn't. It's not out when it's too cold, and they move them around, all these kind of things. And there's other people that believe in more of a tough love for the tree. Or they'll plant that tree and they won't water it as much and they try to let it survive on its own, because that tree that they talk about not being watered as much or being left by itself for a while, those roots begin to really spread deep, searching for more water, for more food, and they spread out and they go deeper and they spread out more and they go deeper. And as those trees grow, they are some of the stronger standing trees there are because of their root system. We are to be rooted and grounded in the love of God. Amen. And the longer we live for Christ, and the longer we depend on Him, the farther reaching that root system will be, and the better foundation we will have in our God and His love. Amen. It's the love of God, it's loving others. There's also just realizing His love. And there's two things about love spoken here in this passage, and the first thing we find is just to comprehend His love. There in verse 18, it says that we may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. To comprehend, to come upon, to attain, to be aware of how far-reaching His love is. You know, there's several hundred miles off the coast of Guam is the Mariana Trench. It's the deepest place in the ocean. And on January 23rd, 1960, there were two men, Jacques Picard and Donald Walsh. They climbed into a vessel on a voyage down to the lowest part of the deep. And they did that, 7 miles down. They went to that spot in the ocean. It was a world record. It's only been repeated one time. The depth of the ocean, when you study that and look at it, is a very mind-boggling thing. And that trench being 7 miles down, the water pressure at the bottom is 15,931 pounds per square inch. But there in that, what's the darkest, lowest place of the ocean floor is life. There's flat fish that are surviving and swimming around down there. And in the darkness, they have survived. And for most of us, it's really hard to fathom how deep that is and to truly understand it and how those things can happen. But much more important to comprehend and even more far-reaching is the love that God has for us. Amen. You know, Paul was hard-pressed to describe the love. He spoke of the breadth, the depth, the height, the length. But he prayed that his readers would somehow grasp it. You know, the reason that we can never reach the depths of God's love is because it's infinite, it's beyond measure. And the farther we feel we may go in our relationship with him and the more love of his we experience, it goes beyond that. And we know the scripture about his love. It's a Sunday night. You've been in church, many of you, most of your life. But the scriptures we know about his love doesn't necessarily mean that we are truly comprehending his love for us. Do we realize it tonight? Do we comprehend it? Are we thinking about how much he does love us? His height of the love is so high it covers all our sins. His depth is so low, no matter how hard we fall, his everlasting arms of love are beneath, ready to catch us. The length of his love is everlasting. And to think about his love for us, how blessed we are. Think about the song, how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. His love is far-reaching. Are we comprehending that tonight? Oh, for the people of the world and for our church to truly understand his love. It speaks about comprehending it, but he also just speaks of knowing it. Look there at verse 18 again. He says, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. To know his love. Not just comprehend it, but to know it and experience it. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, if you would. Those of you that remember the days of meeting your sweetheart, the love of your life, think about those moments when you started to fall in love and you maybe spoke of the love and you would write letters to each other and nowadays text, all those different things with each other. You comprehend it and you speak of it, but the longer you live with that person, you begin to know the love by the things that you may do for one another or the times that you have stood strong together as a couple, all these different things. You comprehend it and you speak of it in those early stages, but as you spend more time with one another, you begin to really know and believe and experience that love with that person. Romans 8, verse 37 says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded, and Paul experienced this love. He said, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Paul went through a lot. Paul had a lot of tribulations, a lot of trials in his life. And Paul, the longer he spent with God, realized more and more of his love and experienced it more in his life. And same for us, the longer we live for God and the longer we keep that relationship where it needs to be, the more of his love we'll know. How well do you know his love tonight? Have you been in one of those situations where you may have been going through a trial or maybe gone through a hard time or a loss in your family? And if you had the relationship with God, you have felt His sustaining love in your heart. And not just know about it, not just hear about it, but experience it for yourself. Maybe you have faced many temptations in your life and you maybe read the scripture that there's no temptation so strong that He can't deliver you out of it. And you've experienced that point of temptation and almost giving in, and then praying and seeking His help, you feel that deliverance from those temptations. You feel that strength that only He can give to get you out of that spot in life, and that's His love. Maybe you have sinned against God. And maybe sin so great that you think there's no way out, and think that God doesn't want you anymore. As we spoke a little bit about in Sunday school this morning in the auditorium, there is nothing that we can do against God, no sin too great that He will not forgive us from. And if you felt that forgiveness, you know His love. And He speaks of knowing the love of God, and He says in the end of that verse that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. When you begin to comprehend and begin to know Him better and to grasp His love for you, it brings that fullness that only He can give. And it only happens when we let Him make Himself completely at home in our hearts, that we comprehend and know the fullness that He has for us in that. I have those requests in the prayer. We talked about the cause. The third thing tonight, you see the faith in the prayer. The faith in the prayer. Verse 20 says, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." His power is limitless. We have a God who speaks of exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think. God is the God of the impossible. A.W. Tozer said, "God is looking for people through whom He can do the impossible. What a pity that we plan only the things that we do by ourselves." God is looking for people through whom He can do the impossible. And when we come to these points in our life, only thinking of what we physically can do or what we can accomplish ourselves, and not thinking about what God could do through us for His glory. There's this young missionary, Herbert Jackson, that was overseas, and he was given a car while he was there to be able to do more work and to be able to get places quicker, and he was very appreciative of the car, but that car had one difficulty. It would not start without a push or a jump start. And Jackson devised the system to help with the car's inability to start, and he had these things that he would do when he was ready to leave his home. He went to a nearby school, and that school would let kids come out and push his car to get him going. And throughout the day, he would always try to park maybe at the top of a hill for when he was ready. He could let it coast, and he'd start it up at that point. Or maybe if he was only going to be somewhere for a few minutes, he would leave the car running. And for 2 years, he did those things with that car, and he had this genius method that he thought of, and he got so good at it that was enabling him to use the car. He eventually got sick, and poor health forced him to have to leave the mission field, and a new missionary arrived to take his position, and he inherited that car from Jackson. And Jackson explained his methods for starting and was pretty proud of all the things he had figured out. He had all these things written out for him to use. And that missionary said, "Well, Mr. Jackson, you know, I believe the only trouble here is a loose cable." And he gave the cable a twist, and he pushed the switch, and the engine roared to life. Now, for 2 years, this man had used his own devices to get through this needless trouble. And the power to start the car was there the whole time. Just needed to be reconnected. We may, in our own life, think that we are doing good for God. We may think that we are just doing okay and we're making it. We may see a little bit of fruit. But the more we depend on Him and the more we look to Him as our source for strength, the more we will accomplish and the greater the victories will be. I love this verse and the way that they described what He was capable of. You know, we can look here and we know that Christ is able to do all that we ask or think. And that statement is good enough, but there's more than that. We know that Christ is able to do above all that we ask or think. There's more than that in this verse. You know, Christ is able to do abundantly above all that we ask or think. Christ is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. What a wonderful thought that is. Do you agree? Do you realize? Do you know? Do you have faith in Him as the limitless one, the God of the impossible tonight? Are we depending on His power? Do we have faith in what He can do for us and through us? The Bible says in Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. It only happens when we pray. It only happens with that faith in Him and who He is and what He can do. This prayer is one that brings results. At the end of verse 20, it speaks about the power that worketh in us. That word worketh, the definition there is to be active and efficient. Meaning it's not a power that worked in us or power that will work when we need it. It is a power that continually will work in us. Do you have faith in God? Every time I think about faith, I always go back. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is about the centurion and his servant. We know the centurion seeked help for his servant who was sick, and he sent messengers to Jesus, and he asked Jesus to heal his servant. And Jesus said, I will go and heal him. And I love what the centurion said. You know, most of us, if Jesus said, I'm going to come on heal him, we would say, yeah, come on over. I want to see this. I need to witness this for myself. And he said, no, Lord. He goes, you say the word, that's good enough for me. You don't need to come to my house. Just say it, and I believe it. You know, we have a God that wants to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. How little faith do we show in the God that can do that every day of our life? What do we believe that He can do for us and through us? We need to pray for those things with faith in the all-powerful God. Church, are we praying for the cause tonight? I want to see great and mighty things in my life. I want to see those exceeding abundantly things in my life. I want my children to experience the power of God. I want them to witness His work in their life and in the lives of those around them. I want them to see those things, but those things will not happen if we are not people of prayer. Those things won't happen if we aren't seeking Him on behalf of others and ourselves. I like to imagine, to think about Paul in prison. Paul had reached these people. He cared for them. He loved them. And Paul is in this place where he's not able to do much. He is in prison. He is stuck there. Paul is wondering what he can do and trying to be an encouragement and help to these people. And he wrote them this letter, and he also knew he could do more than that. He could pray. And as Paul is thinking about these people, hoping that they are still continuing on for God, he is writing these things to them. He goes, I'm praying that your inner man will be strengthened, and I'm praying that you will really understand and continue to know God and His love, and I'm praying these things in the God that can do the impossible. And Paul prayed for these people. Each of us can do the same. Each of us can pray for one another. We can pray for the church. We can pray for the generations below us that God will use them and that they'll grow and know Him. We need to be people of prayer. This is a prayer that worked. And this prayer and this purpose is all about one thing. Let's look there in the last verse of this chapter. He says, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end, amen. The life that we are living, in the prayers that we are praying, in the actions that we do in our life, all need to be for God's glory. Yeah. Lord, we love You, and God, we thank You for the day You've given us, Lord. And thank You, God, for Your word, and I pray You just bless this invitation in the next few moments. How is your relationship with God tonight? Do we have men and women in here tonight that are praying for our church, praying for one another, praying for the generations below us? How's your inner man? What do we pray for? Do we know his love? Do we comprehend his love? Do we experience it on a daily basis in our life? How is your faith in God? The altar's open for any that need to get between with them and the Lord. Lord, we love you, and God, we thank you for who you are, what you've done. Thank you for your word, and God, I pray for the next few moments that you just bless us, Lord, as we, Lord, examine our hearts and lives. Pray that you bless this invitation in your name.